Greetings in the name of Jesus. We invite your attention to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. I just have a verse of my own here I want to share. You don't turn to it. Psalm 111, the first verse, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. And we do want to praise the Lord this morning in the congregation, to his glory, for his faithfulness. And we've been singing about that wonderful faithfulness of our Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. And I just want to say the Lord's been faithful, and my wife Christine is feeling real well with the new knee, and we praise God for that. We thank you for your prayers, and we praise God for his goodness. And certainly want to thank you for remembering us, my wife, during this time, and sharing with us in many ways, including some delicious meals. So God bless you. You're a wonderful congregation, and it's good to be together with you this morning. James chapter 2, 14 through 26. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give not them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's reverently kneel before the Lord.
We greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank Brother Glenn for his prayer and each of you for praying, and I hope that you would continue in prayer. The title of our message is Testing Our Faith. A job I fill in for sometimes down at Glatfelder's is the wood chip tester. In fact, I filled in for that job for 7 weeks just recently. At Glatfelder's, they grind up logs into wood chips. We also buy wood chips that come in on tractor trailers from various suppliers. And these wood chips need tested. And you say, well, what is there to test on a wood chip? Well, sawdust that's in those wood chips, that's too small to produce pulp for paper. And what we call pin chips are just a little bigger than sawdust. They're too small to use also. And then you get wood chips that are over 8 millimeters thick. They don't cook properly. You can't dissolve them into fiber, so we don't want chips that size. So every day, the chip tester takes 1,500 grams of wood chips, takes it from the supplier or from Glatfelder's chipper. He puts it in a machine to test it, and then he waits for the results. And the machine, when the sample is done being tested, it prints out a report. It tells what percent is sawdust, what percent is pins, what percent is oversized. But most importantly, it tells what percent is that 6 to 8 millimeter thick, and that's the perfect size to make good paper. Each sample is given a number called the Chip Quality Index, or they call it CQI. which is the percentage of usable chips. 93% and above is considered a good quality load of chips. 85 to 93% is considered fair. And below 85% is considered poor. That's the CQI, the Chip Quality Index. Recently, I've been thinking in terms of our faith. What is our faith quality index? Do you know it's a biblical command that we test our faith, examine our faith? In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own self. Know you not your own selves, how that Christ, Jesus Christ, is in you, except ye be reprobates? Examine the quality of our faith. And the word prove means, it actually means to test. Test your faith. Only you can know the real quality of your faith. And the Holy Spirit wants you to be honest. Your eternity depends on you coming face to face with the reality of what your faith really is. Test it. Prove it. The Bible describes various kinds of faith. There is a dead faith. We read about it in James chapter 2. Outwardly, it might appear authentic, but there is no life in it. It's dead. The Bible describes a departed faith. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. The Bible describes a cast-off faith. 1 Timothy 5, verse 12. Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. It means to set aside the torch of faith that they once carried. They discard it along the way. The Bible describes an overthrown faith. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection has passed already, and overthrown the faith of some. These persons were once in the faith, but the evil one calls them to overthrow, to throw away their faith. The Bible describes a straying faith. 1 Timothy 6, verse 21, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. And erred, it simply means to miss the mark, to deviate. It has a connotation to swerve. Some start good. They profess the faith. They have a straight path. Then they swerve from the path. They stray, just gently stray, till they are no longer in the faith. The Bible describes a lacking faith. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. Night and day praying exceedingly, that we might see your face, and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Lacking means deficit. It could be a poor faith, a little faith. It's lacking much. The Bible talks about a weak faith versus a strong faith in Romans 4, verses 19 and 20. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Scripture describes a growing faith. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Scripture describes a genuine faith in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. Scripture describes a standing faith. In 1 Corinthians 16, it says, watch ye, stand in the fast in the faith. Scripture describes a faith that is rooted deep and built up. Colossians 2, verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught. Scripture describes a continuing faith. Colossians 1, verse 23. If ye continue in the faith. What is the quality of our faith? Is it a dead faith? Have we departed from the faith? Have we cast off our faith? Have we overthrown our faith? Is it a faith that is straying? Is it a lacking? Is it weak? Or do we have a strong faith, a continuing faith, a growing faith, a genuine, living, vibrant faith? Why is it important we examine our faith? Well, why do doctors care if you have a heartbeat? You're dead without a heartbeat. And without genuine living faith, we are spiritually dead and headed for the wrath of God in eternity. Hebrews 11, verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Hebrews 3, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What is your faith pulse? Is it a strong beat? Is it a feeble beat? Or is it a straight line on the chart? Are we dead or alive spiritually? I want to look at some scriptures that will help us test our faith quality. I decided to pick scriptures that indicated signs of the quality of our faith. Scriptures that we could compare, could observe and compare and see how we measure up. We want to examine ourselves if we are in the faith. Test number one is what we just read, James chapter 2, verses 20 to 26. This is our first exam. Test if you have a dead faith. James chapter 2, verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? And then verse 26. For as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. A dead faith has no spiritual works or little spiritual works. There is no life. There's no activity, no action. A living faith, on the other hand, is accompanied by actions. Actions to build up the body. Actions to witness to the unsaved. Actions to care for the poor, the hungry, the disadvantaged. Actions that use our hands and our feet and our mouth to be the hands and feet and mouth of Jesus Christ to those in need. Living faith has beside it works. Dead faith is silent towards the needs of others. I want to ask you this. When you go to a viewing, how do you know that he or she is dead? When it's your turn to step in front of the casket, how do you know that that person is dead? Well, there is no movement. There is no action. Even someone who is asleep, they're going to move a little bit with every breath. Their eyelids will flutter. Their hands will move slightly. But a person in the casket is silent, unmoving, without action. Spiritually, are you in the casket of dead faith? Or are you walking in a living faith? Examine our life over the last year. Has there been movement? Have you built up the body? Have you witnessed to the unsaved? Have you cared for the poor and hungry? Are you dead or alive? Full of good works or no good works? This scripture doesn't leave much wiggle room. Faith without works is dead. Today it's popular to look for foods that are free from certain ingredients. Lactose-free, gluten-free, peanut-free. And the food labels identify these things as being free from these things. I want to ask us, are we free of good works? What if we had labels hanging on us, identifying how many we visited last year, how we showed hospitality, how we cared for the poor and those in prison, how much we witnessed to others? Are we works free? Is Christ ashamed of us? If you don't have works spiritually, you have flatline on the chart. There is no faith beat. Test number two is found in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 9. This is the test if you are in the spirit or in the flesh. Romans 8, verse 6 to 9. For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are of the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Did you catch that? If you don't have the Spirit, you are none of his. If you are in the flesh, you can't please God. Again, isn't that pretty plain language? This test isn't a multiple choice. It's not an essay. It's just true or false. Is it true that you have the Spirit and that I have the Spirit and the Spirit-filled life? Or is it true that you and I, that we are without the Spirit and we walk after the flesh? You know, if you took the heart of a lamb and you put that heart into a pig, it would no longer wallow in filth, no longer be content to sleep in the dirt. A pig with a lamb's heart would seek the green, clean green pastures. If you have the Spirit, if you have the heart of Christ in you, you will be a changed person. Galatians 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, it goes on and on, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, of the which I tell you before, as I also told you in times past, that they which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Have we truly been born again? In John 3, verse 3, Jesus has answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 6, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do you have a dead faith? Have you fallen from the faith? Has it been overthrown? Have you cast off your faith? Have you departed from it? You cannot please God. You cannot enter the kingdom. Is there continual jealousy and pride, adultery, contention, bitterness, envy, lust, lasciviousness, fornication? You are in the flesh. I am in the flesh. We cannot please God. I remember many years ago, there was a brother and sister in our congregation. Every year, they plant a row of pickles. Every year, same thing. And one year, as the pickles grew, they noticed something didn't look right. So they went out and they took a closer look. And they saw that instead of pickles hanging on the stalks, there were gourds hanging on the stalk. You see, it was the wrong kind of seed that they planted. They accidentally planted gourd seed instead of pickle seed. You see, the fruit was evidence of what the core plant was. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us, examine your fruit. Test yourself. If the manifestations of your heart is from Satan, you are not of the seed of God, but you are a child of the devil. If your fruit is carnal and fleshly, then your heart is still corrupt. If your fruit is spiritual and from above, then your heart is born again from above. Test your faith. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 4 and 5, it mentions some characteristics of those who are not of the seed of Christ. And then it says they have a form of godliness. How prone we are to cover and disguise our sins. We might slay that lion out in the field and say, "Look, I killed the lion. I hate lions. I'm so righteous." Yet in the safety of our homes, we verbally abuse our mates. We are in bondage to alcohol or drugs, or we play the devil's music or enjoy pornography on a daily basis. But we look good at church. A dead faith, a worthless faith, a faith that will take you to hell for eternity. How are we doing on the test so far? I told you it wasn't multiple choice. The questions are rather straightforward, and they're straight from Scripture. Question number one, is our faith dead? Do we have works to authenticate our faith? Question number two, am I spirit-filled or flesh-filled? What did we find? Question number three on the test of our faith is from Luke 9, verse 23. Have I surrendered my life to Christ? Luke 9, 23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" Let's dissect verse 23. If any man, that's anyone, male or female, will come after me, if you want to be a follower of Christ, if you want to be a Christian, it says, let him or her deny themselves. It means our self will have things withholden from it. Self does not get the pleasures it desires. Self is not what our life centers on. Self gets put to the side as we have a new master named Jesus Christ. Before in the past, we surrendered our lives to our own wants. But now we surrender our life to Jesus Christ. You know, denying self goes against everything in us. We are prone to self-survival, self-fulfillment, selfishness, self-exaltation, self-pursuits. Our whole carnal nature, it rebels against the idea of dying to ourselves and surrendering to a higher power. But if you're any person, and if you are a Christian in the faith, you will deny self. Verse 23 also says, take up the cross daily. In the preceding verse, in verse 22, Jesus described how he was taking up his cross. A Christian with genuine faith will be willing to suffer for Jesus. He will take a stand for Jesus when he knows it will cause others to cut him or her down. He is willing to lose his job, his family, his fortune. He is willing to lose it all as a follower of Christ. Verse 23, it's pretty plain talk. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall save it. Pretty plain talk. If you save your life, if you fulfill self, if you keep your time for yourself, you keep your money for yourself, you circle around the needs and desires in your life, then you will lose yourself. You will not see eternal life with Christ. But if you lose yourself, that is denying self, and you take up your cross and you surrender to Jesus Christ, you will have the eternal joy with Christ. Being a Christian is supernatural. Of our own, we cannot surrender our lives and take up the cross. Our faith in Christ brings the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish this in our life. Do we have this faith? Are there signs we're alive? Is it a weak faith or a dead faith or a swerving faith? While we sing, "All to Jesus I surrender," do we refuse to visit others, to meet needs in our body, to be active in ministry, to refuse to die to self, to refuse to come under his lordship. All to Jesus, I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Is this your testimony of faith? Are you passing the exam? Question one, is my faith dead? No action. Question two, am I spirit-filled or flesh-filled? Question three, have I fully surrendered my life to Christ? Question four, to test our faith, is found in 1 John 2, verses 9 to 11. Is my life a life of love or of hatred? 1 John 2, verse 9, he that saith he is in the light, yet hateth his brother, is in darkness even unto now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. Did you notice the word is? Whosoever hateth his brother is in darkness, walketh in darkness. It's a present active tense. It's a situation that is occurring now. Those who hate are in darkness. Those who love abide in the light. 1 John 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. 1 John 4, verse 20. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a what? A liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? We know we have eternal life if we love. We know we have no eternal life if we hate. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And Galatians 5, verse 22 talks about the other. And but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then it talks about love. It's joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are you in the faith? Are you in light or in darkness? Where are we now? Philippians 2, verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, that verse flies in the face of so much that we hear. We hear maybe sometimes, once saved, always saved. You hear, come as you are, stay as you are. We hear, all you need to do is mentally assent to the facts that Jesus died for your sins. And you will be saved. Yet Scripture says the devils believe. James 2, verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. You see, faith is more than just a one-time act. Faith is a verb. It's not a noun. Our faith saved us. We were translated into his kingdom. We have freedom from sin and faith. Now there is no condemnation in us. But faith is a continual thing. Listen to these verses. Colossians 1, verse 22. In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith. Hebrews 3, verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If we choose to continually have a mindset to not be active in good works, if we choose to have a mindset to continually walk after the flesh, if we choose to center around self, if we choose to be hateful and bitter, we need to examine ourselves. Are we in the faith? We're on dangerous ground. In a song titled, "What About Now?" this question is asked, and I like songs with questions. They make us think. The song goes, "What about now? What about now? Is there evidence seen by those you're around that he's your Savior and your Lord beyond any doubt? Not just somewhere in your past, somehow. What about now? It's not about a prayer you repeat it one time, joining a church or tears that you've cried. What about now? What about now? Is there evidence seen by those you're around that he's your Savior and your Lord beyond any doubt? Not just somewhere in your past, somewhere. What about now?" I want to encourage us from the life of Peter. At one time, Peter exhibited great faith in Christ. In Matthew 16, Christ said to Peter, "He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father." It was a great faith. But now, right before his crucifixion, Jesus says to him in Luke 22, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And we know that Peter, soon after this, he denied Christ. He was ashamed of him. He didn't take his cross. His focus was on self-survival. Yet Jesus knew he would be victorious. He said, "And when thou art converted," means when you are changed, when you turn back, when you return to the faith, "then strengthen your brethren." Christ has been praying for you. And though you have drifted, though you have fallen and slipped, yet Christ is calling each of us back to him. God is a God of hope. God is a God of new beginnings. Now is the day to turn, to return back. You remember, you know, back then. You remember that day you stood. You remember the joy you had. You remember the joys you came out of the baptism waters, like Sister Hannah will be doing soon. You remember that joy. But what about now? Christ is calling you back to him. The Father, with open arms, is waiting for you to leave the swine and return to him. You don't need to continue in a straying faith or an overthrown faith. God is calling you back to a full surrender to his lordship and a faith that is strong and grows and continues. What is your score? You know, if we don't have any faith, God will pass out our judgment at the great white throne judgment. If you have faith, he will reward you at the judgment seat of Christ. The teacher that scores the exams, he makes no mistakes. He does not curve any grades. The score is final. There is no appeal. There is no retest. How is your faith?
There are some that don't like what James wrote. Martin Luther was one of them. Didn't like the idea that works has anything to do with faith. Recently in York, I had the street rods running up and down the highway. You know, they're pretty neat things, but I was looking at a magazine with pictures of some of these hot rods, and a fella told me, you know, it's pictured his car with all these trophies for what a great car it was. He said, you know, that car is only for display. It won't actually run. They haul it around and they park it and they look at it and they, oh, it's just so perfect looking and its design and artistic value and all that. But you can get in it and he won't go anywhere. You know, there's a lot of truth in the fact that we can look good, but where are we going? You know, you can have an experience and claim an experience, but faith without works is dead. James isn't the only one that mentioned that. Jesus, in his reference to the church at Sardis, says, I've looked at your works, and you have a name that you're alive, but you're dead. And he said, strengthen the things that are ready to die. So there is a definite connection between faith and works. And as far as bearing the cross, the verse came to my mind, as Ray said, it's self-denial. And we're told to love not the world. And John says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The lust of the flesh is to do something God does not want me to do. And the lust of the eyes is to have something God does not want me to have. And the pride of life is for me to be someone or something that God does not want me to be. Faith without works is dead. Let's stand as we pray.